You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody, and this is Marco Bill. Well, folks, I got to apologize to you. Tom was planning on being on tonight, but we've had some things that have happened in the last week or so. They're not bad things. They're good things. But it's just, you wouldn't believe, I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of, he's flying back and forth between New York and several other states right now. One, we're trying to finish, we're doing several things. One, we're trying to finish our last movie here, well, not last one, but our latest movie, and there's some requirements and other things that they want on it before we can get it published. So he has to get those things completed. Then the second thing is there's a he's busy trying to there's a lot of people calling us and wanting us to participate in various events, and they're very good events, don't get me wrong, and what we have to do is in order to do that, we have to go to these meetings with their staffs, and the meetings are New York, Boston, and a few other places. you know, some of the other things that are going on. Plus, we're also getting together with some people to finish up, and we're doing some expedition things as well. So it's just so many things going on at once. And what happened last week was it all kind of came together, and we just had to figure out how we're going to do it. So for the next couple of weeks, Tom may appear or come on for a short period of time, but for the most part, he's usually traveling. Last week, he was driving through the mountains. He wanted to be on the show, but his cell phone just wouldn't allow it, things like that. So what we're going to do is we're just going to let him, he's going to call me and let me know what show, you know, when he can make the show or and all that, and I'll keep you guys posted. But it's a lot of good things going on. Another thing that happened just prior to the show, our fourth guest, Rocky, from Arkansas, he called me just before the show started. His mother is aged, and she fell down, and she broke some bones and things, and he's in the hospital with her right now. So I'd ask all of you folks out there if you could say a little extra prayer or something for her to bring her through the night. And she, you know, us elderly people, one of the most dangerous things that can happen to them is to fall down. You know, there's more hip replacements, legs, arms, things like that that happen to older people, and that they are life threatening. So, if we could just ask you to bear with us. And if Rocky can make it, he'll make it. If he can't, he can't. I have some other things that we'll be able to cover with. The other thing is the Bigfoot Hotline. Gosh, folks, it's been busy. I mean, this is the busiest it's been in. This year has really been a busy year for it. I get anywhere from 12 to 15 or more calls a week on the hotline. What I got to tell you is, we also get a lot of crank—not a lot, but we get some crank calls. Most of the crank calls are from young kids, high school kids, or you know, grade school kids playing around, either in school or during the day, or you know, trying to play a joke on somebody. And you know, I understand that. There are some people that on the Friday nights, usually on Friday night or Saturday night, get out there and have a few beers and all their buddies, and they decide to call the Bigfoot Hotline and try to take us on a ride. And I hope you folks know, you know, there's a lot of real people out there that really do call us. And some of these, there's hoax ones are the ones that are people that are, you know, just trying to make a nuisance of themselves. They're just a bother. But don't worry, we can handle it. We're not going to close down the Bigfoot Hotline anytime soon. It's working fine, and everything works good. It's just frustrating sometimes, though, that it takes up our time. The other day, I lost two calls because of one idiot trying to call me and tell me he wanted to sell us a whole bunch of Bigfoot stuff. So I just asked him a few questions to see where the reality was in it, and all he just had a few too many drinks, and was just trying to make trouble. But anyway, we did have a gentleman call today, and he had a pretty unique experience, but he doesn't want to come on the show. He's really frightened about coming on the show. And I won't even mention his name or the state that he's in. But when he called, he'd been a skeptic all these years. He'd been a skeptic about Bigfoot, thought it was all fake and everything. And his wife would tell him stories about it where she lived. And they went on vacation up to where his wife's family lived, which is in, you know, a wooded area in the mountains and stuff. And it has a lot of fruit trees. And those fruit trees is where the wife said that these creatures would come down, and they would pick fruit, and they could see them at certain times of the year. And so he called me, and he said, "My God," he says, "I don't believe this, but we went down there the other day, and my wife showed me. And all these years I've been calling her, you know, thinking she was, just making it up. And all the other people were making the stories up." And he went down there, and he seen several creatures, and they were in the trees or climbing the trees and getting fruit. And so he called, and he was so excited that he was really excited. His wife, he was afraid to get in trouble with his wife because his wife told him that she didn't want anybody screwing around with the creatures in those areas because the people around there try to protect them. And they come down frequently every year and do that. And it's a common knowledge in the area there. It's a rural area. But they don't want people obviously running around their backyard. And I don't blame them. That's true. So anyway, I just told him we'd keep him anonymous, but it was a fascinating kind of a story. He explained, he said, "They don't look anything like the creature on television." And I said, "Which creature is that?" He said, "That Patterson thing." He said, "It don't look nothing like it." And I said, "Well, of course not. The Patterson thing is a fake creature. It's a suit." And he said, "Oh." Well, he said, "Oh, this here is only 5 feet tall." And I said, "Well, okay, there's several different species that we're aware of." And I said, "Give me some more description." And he started describing it. And I said, "It probably looked like kind of more of an ape or orangutan kind of a creature, right? A reddish-brown fur." And he said, "Yeah, it did. It did." And I said, "Well, that's a common one that's seen, in different areas. And that's a common one. There's a couple more," and I explained them to him. So anyway, it was a pretty exciting. He was really excited. Man, he could hardly talk straight. But anyway, it was kind of a neat thing. Every once in a while, you get one of those calls where somebody is just absolutely fascinated. A lot of times, people are scared. They don't know what to do, and they ask us, "Well, what should I do?" And we just tell them, "Well, don't do anything. Normally the creature is not going to harm you." I said, if you have fear or you're afraid, obviously don't go chasing after the creature. Stay away from it. Go to a safe place. Remove yourself from the situation so you're not scared, which is, the right thing to do. But anyway, here we go. We're going to go out here first. Our first guest tonight is Anthony from Virginia. And we're going to go out there and talk to Anthony, see what's been going on in his area. And I might have him give us a couple of little, some background things and some other things. Everybody's aware. There are a lot of things going on with this latest. I don't like to talk too much about these things because I don't think it's worth the press. But, Rick Dyer and all these other folks out there with this shooting Bigfoot and the minnow film folks and all that. And obviously they're trying to, the minnow films is trying to contact Tom and they're trying to make amends because they misrepresented him. And he was very upset about that because he told him explicitly that he did not want to be in any kind of a situation where it was with some certain people. And of course, they didn't listen, and they just did it anyway. For what reason, we don't know, but they're trying to get a hold of him now and today. They were trying to get a hold of him to find out where he's at. So I gave him his number and things, and so they can make arrangements to make a meeting and smooth things out. But anyway, all that stuff, there's a lot of things out there, a lot of hype, and a lot of people think that this, there was really all this stuff going on. But I had to consider the source, and this is only me personally, folks. I'm not trying to dash anybody's hopes or anything, I would have the best hopes or and even the best wishes for anybody that had had you know gotten some sort of an evidence that would establish the identity of some of these creatures. And it's more than one type of creature. You've got to understand that. But at least one species or something that so that would get the right amount of attention from the scientific community, and not just the scientific community, but from, you know, from the game and the other commissions that are out there, so that we could protect those things. We really don't know. In some cases, they very well could be near human or human, and some of them aren't. So, I mean, you know, what do you do? You got to be very careful. And one of the biggest things that we're afraid is, you know, everybody thinks it's easy. Well, why don't you just capture one? It's not that easy, folks. It doesn't work like that. Capturing one of these creatures is quite a bit more involved than what people would even imagine. And I'm not going to go deeply into that right now, but I wanted to let you know we have plans and we've planned things. We have processes and procedures already set up for if something like that would happen. But the issue is we do not want to harm a human being or put a life at risk. And what would happen if we killed one of these things and it was a human? You see what I'm saying? I don't know. And it's a very, very gray area. My personal feeling is it's rather to, you know, be safe than sorry. And don't dwell on something or do something that you're going to regret later on. Don't do it first. And it's like with anything in life, you have to think about it before you do it. Anyway, here we go out here to Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing well, Marco Bill. So I hear about your guests. I hope everything works out with Rocky over there and his mom, and hope she recovers.
Yeah, he may call in. I'm not sure. I told him not to worry. It wasn't important enough to do that. Take care of his mom first. You know, that becomes more important than anything else.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned all that stuff about, you know, films and Rick Dyer, and for all those that are listening, I just happen to be one of the guest that Tom came out to meet, and I met the film crew also. You know, I hadn't seen the movie, but you know, I remember the crew, you know, filming the area where we dated and we got the footprint and we casted the footprint. You know, that probably should be on the film. I saw some of it on the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I gotta say, what really makes me happy about you and Tom. You know, you guys, when I called you, you called back, spent some time with me, taught me a lot of stuff. You know, and you know, number one, I never, you know, you guys didn't charge me anything. You know what I'm saying? When Tom came, I mean, he took me out to dinner that first night. You know, the next day he made sure everybody ate and had some snacks or what have you, you know. You know, Tom came. He stayed here a few days. He wanted to stay a lot longer. You know, and I hope next time he comes through, he does. You know, and I really appreciate that. You know, you got some clown that you know is touting that he's the best tracker in the world, and you know, and he's charging people to you know for his whatever he thinks is his expertise, you know, but, you know, one of the things that drew me to your website was, you know, was all the evidence that you had on your site, you know, was matching some of the things that were in the areas where I was, and that's what made me call. You know, I said, I think I might have something, you know, and you confirmed it, you know, and if you know, listeners, you know, most of your listeners that have been following, you know, they know my story, but, I mean, you go to this clown's website, and just about every picture or every frame of video that's about starting, you know, I mean, this is this self-centered, you know, fool that thinks he's an awesome tracker, you will not see a single footprint. You won't see a tree formation. You won't see a still image or maybe a video link to anything that's, of this creature. You'll see a whole lot of him on it, you know. But I tell you what, Marco, though, after tonight, you know, that might change because I said it, you know. and I don't doubt that, it'll probably be stuff that's plagiarized. But, again, and I agree with you. I agree with a lot of other, common sense opinion. I mean, if there really was, physical evidence, I think, we will probably would have known of it right now. And you know what? I do hope someone produces a body, preferably of death of natural causes. You know what I mean? Just like
sure.
You were saying, you don't want to kill a human, hopefully that'll turn up one day, but to go boasting that, you shot Bigfoot when, there's a community that believes that, this is a partial human, I don't know how you can boast about that. But
well, one of the things, Anthony, I don't, when we express our opinions, everybody think it's the same opinion of everybody else, and it's not. Everybody has their own opinion on things, and from an organization, people think that that's the organization speaking, and many times it isn't, and it's misconstrued. You know what I'm talking about? And we've had other organizations where individuals in the organization, not the whole organization, individuals in the organization are corrupt or are, antagonistic or doing really foolish things. But it's not the whole organization. There are so many good people in those organizations. And unfortunately, what happens is their, reputations or their, they feel like they're being slighted when somebody says something against the organization, which, and rightly so. And when we go on the air with a radio program or something, I try very hard, and it's hard to do sometimes because sometimes you make mistakes. We all do, but I try very hard not to try to knock other people's organizations that have come up in. I mean, if you look at do a Google on the website, for God's sake, there's so much garbage out there. And how can people ever determine what is real and what is not real? I mean, even I can't. When I go up there to YouTube or some of these other places and you see some of these things, but there are some things that you can find, if you look hard enough, that appear to be real. And or more, they're more authentic than others, and things like that. And so there's, a lot of, in the Bigfoot community, there's so much, and there's so many people out there that are self-righteous, only their territory or only their thing, their organization or whatever. And it's not true. In order for things to happen, and again, this is my personal opinion, it's not anybody else's but mine, but in order for anything to happen on Bigfoot, the community has to come together, they have to bury their little hatchets, and they have to, stop thinking about, what's, who's done what. Open your mind, keep it open, and allow other people's opinions and other things to come in. You may not believe what the other person believes, okay, and when they're describing something. That's how they describe it, okay? It's the way that they describe it and what they believe that they saw or what they believe that, what their solution is to it. It may or may not be right. We don't know. But the big thing is there is no expert on Bigfoot. Anybody that says they are an expert, they're shooting out the wrong tubes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If there was an expert, we'd know everything about them. But I don't know anybody. We're still, every single time we go out, we find something new that we didn't know before. And, you know, when we first started, we thought there was only like one kind of species of this thing. And now there's three or four different other species that we've come across over the past 7 or 8 years. And they're not just by one person. These are by many different people. And the thing that I substantiate, my own personal substantiation of many of these events, is I've interviewed somewhere about in the neighborhood of about 600 people in the last 7 years that have had encounters or events that have taken place. And out of all those things, many, many, many of these things are the same. And none of these people know each other. And they describe the exact same descriptions of the various different creatures. There has to be something about that. You see, how they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to carry on a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. You know, the first time I met Tom, you know, he asked me my opinion. And you know, my opinion, I mean, first thing, we agree these things, you know, these creatures exist. Yeah, but he just asked me my opinion, and my opinion was, you know, the same of his, but we still had a great time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We still had a great time.
Tom will never, one of the things, I have to tell everybody this. Tom has always said from the very beginning when I met him, okay, he never says, you see, you know, this is a Bigfoot and you believe in it. He never says that, ever, to anybody that's ever went with him. He says this, you see what I see, you do what I do, you go where I go, you see what I see, you make your own decision. And that's he right. says that all the time. And he's not trying to, because he was a non-believer when he first started out. So, I mean, how can you say, well, this is all true, and expect everybody to believe it? Well, there's a lot of people that won't believe it. And many people don't believe it until they've experienced it. And once they've experienced it, of course, now you're a believer. It's like religion, right?
That's right. Get that experience, and you'll always believe.
Yep, and once you get the hook in you, there's some people out there that once they get the hook in them, guess what? They're hooked.
Yeah, I'm one of them. You know, it's almost 3 years ago.
I know. You came on, you remember Chris from Arkansas? He came on the same way. I mean, we have, you know, many people that started out. And what I think is, what makes up the Bigfoot community isn't searching for Bigfoot. That's why when we have this radio show, we don't just, what we're talking about is people, real people with real encounters. That's the slogan we've had for years. That's the format of this show. That's what we try to do. And sometimes we vary off from the subject a little bit, get carried away. But pretty much, if you'll notice that 340 or 50 or 80 or no, 40-some programs that we've had over the past 7 years, you're going to find people on there every single week that have had encounters in different areas of the country. And and what we do is we have them come on and explain it. And we don't tell you who they are. We just give you a first name and the state they're from. And there's a reason for that. That's to protect them. Because the first time you say that you've seen a Bigfoot and people figure out where you're at, we have all kinds of rats that listen to this show as well. And what they do is they go out there and they try to figure out where all these things are. I got to tell you, we have other organizations that have TV shows and things like this, the more recent ones here. They call us every month for new material. They want to use our material on their show, okay? And I tell the producers, look, are you guys running out of material or what? I said, we're not going to give you anybody's address, anybody's contact information that's been on this show ever, because they've confided in us not to do that, and we will not do that for whatever money or whatever, you know. We'll contact them and have them contact you, but we'll never allow you to go to their place or whatever and just go storming around ever, and we don't do that.
I can testify that this is true because, you know, nobody else has. I mean, there's just a few people where you just pass along my email address, and I won't mention their names, but, you know, and we've emailed each other a few times and compared pictures. I mean, again, you know, that's just someone new added to the Bigfoot community, and it's great talking about it with somebody else, you know, so.
Yeah, what we don't want to have happen is one of these, you know, ragtag organizations coming around there with, you know, their crews or their teams or whatever, and you know, all of a sudden knock on your back door and say, "Hey, show me where the Bigfoots are." Have you seen the Bigfoots? Have a town hall meeting in your backyard, and you know, but we don't do that, and it's just something that we decided from the very start of this that we wouldn't do, and we've been pretty. Yeah, we made a couple of mistakes a couple of times. We lost a couple of very, very close friends because of some of the ways. It wasn't on purpose. It was completely by accident. But as I told you, we have people that listen to this show that are out there to try to figure out where all these people are. And in the beginning, we used to give them, when they came on the show, would talk about going out and they'd give a street number or something like that, and these people would find it. We had an organization, a very good organization. For almost 2 years, we were with him, and he was on his parents' estate. He had about 1,000 acres, and they had a whole setup of remote cameras and everything to monitor the whole area. And it was kind of they wanted to remain secretive, and which we kept them there. But when we came on the show, the mistake we made was, They talked about a county road and some other stuff and the name of one of his relatives and the last name. And the next week, a known figure in I'm not going to say the organization, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but a very well-known figure came with his little team. He came up to the people's house, and he threatened them, if they didn't let him on the property, that he would call the news media and call a fake thing and cause all kinds of ruckus in the area. And
the nerve.
I know. And they called us back and said, "Look, we have nothing against you, but we want to keep our organization and low key. We don't want any, you know, we especially don't want people like this coming around. And so we can't do any more of these interviews or shows." And I totally agreed with them. And I said, "We're completely sorry. We didn't figure out that we were making a mistake, and that's what happened." And but they're still—I mean, they're still friends with us. It's just that they won't, you know. And I don't blame them. They won't come on publicly to announce anything, and they're maintaining their own thing, doing well. Well, anyway, heck, I'm sorry I got carried away.
Not a problem.
So, Anthony, what's been going on, a little shorty thing here, what's been going on in your area there?
Well, not a lot of activity, just a little bit here and there, just some new formations, some footprints, but at the same time, I've taken pictures of them, and, you know, sometimes I kind of like second guess, thinking this could be this could be that. Nothing, you know, really that would make you convinced that this may or may not be it. If I get two toes or three toes, you know, that's not enough to convince anybody that this is a five-toed creature, you know what I'm saying? Or you might get a
gator
or something like that, you know. So, you know, but just a few weeks ago, when, you know, probably the more impressive formation that, you know, I already sent to you, been hearing some howls, back there, which are, just can't figure out what's going on. I unfortunately did buy a new recorder, but I did not have it on me, so, you know.
That always happens.
And it's the funniest thing, because, if everybody that had a sighting had, you know, something to record it with, it would be over, you know. It would be over, mm-hmm. The creature's real, everybody believes it because of all the evidence, you know. But, I mean, these things happen to come by so quick, or you just might be there a minute or a day late, you know.
Yep.
And you know, but you know, just like everybody else, you know, you're getting close, you know, you're getting close, but you know, it's this thing that called life gets in the way. You know, you got to take care of your family, your wife, and your kids, and you know, you got to support yourself.
Always comes first, there, you know.
Yeah. Right. And so you want to try to, you know, it's hard to prioritize things, but, you know, when people get that Bigfoot bug, I know they want to do it 24/7, you know, and if they could,
I
know they would.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, gosh, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. You're going to stay on until the end, right?
Actually, tonight I would love to, but I'm backed up on some work that
I understand. You've been working late. I know, and I want to appreciate you coming on just to spend the time with us.
Thanks
for having
me.
Well, thank you, Anthony, and I'll keep in touch with you here the next couple of weeks or so, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah,
good night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony from Virginia, and I'm going to go to a little quick commercial. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Teron from Choctaw Nation, Mississippi. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And we're going to go out here to Theron. Teron, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing just fine, Marco. Bill, what about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Teron, tell us, there's a lot of things been going on. Mac was on last week.
Yeah.
And you've been working with Mac, but there's a lot of things been going on in your area there. And as you know, you're in one of those hot spots.
Yes, I am.
It's pretty active all the time.
It is. The first time I ever noticed that there was some type of creature living here in Mississippi when I was a teenager with several other teenagers, and we were out in the woods and we were camping out, and somebody saw something. You know, he said, "What's that?" And everybody looked. Everybody said, "Whoa!" They all ran, and I was the last one to run. Anyway, it was at nighttime. We had a campfire going, and it was standing by a big, a huge pine tree. And all of a sudden, something snapped, and just after one of the guys said, "What is that?" And something like a twig or something snapped, and everybody... Whoa, they ran, and I ran too, but that thing chased us. It didn't seem like it was running, but you could hear every step that it was making, and we finally got out of the woods, and we saw the young, skinny pine trees all cuddled up together. You just couldn't walk through those pine trees, and they must have been 25, 30 feet tall, something like that. And they started swaying apart, and you could hear the branches break, and you could still hear the you could hear them walk, you know. And and that was the first time. And what I saw was something big, dark, and I think I saw it for about a second, and I ran as fast as I could, you know, and I always wondered what in the world was that, because you know, I see bears, and we don't have bears in Mississippi anymore. I always wondered what it was, and I saw the Patterson film, and I kept on wondering, maybe it was one of those. But then over the years, I've been keeping up with stories that people tell, and through the years, the creatures have been existing here on the Choctaw Indian Reservation here in central Mississippi, and I've gathered up several stories, and I kept it in my head, and I think I'm going to write on it. I was an English major in college, and I like to write, so I think I'm going to write about these stories here pretty soon. But I was glad that Tom and his crew came, and I learned a lot of things, you know. When they found the lair, they explained to me how these big branches were. Some of them were broken too, but Tom said, "Look, this is twisted off, you know, and that's how the lair was made, you know, and it was like leaves and stuff like that, probably trying to make like a mattress or something, you know."
Uh-huh.
But I learned a lot of things, and I learned that they like peanut butter and then sardines, and they got some good, interesting stuff from out here. But what I'd like to talk about is, I saw two videos here locally, and the videos were taken by Choctaw Indian Cemetery, and we studied that video as hard as we could, and we ruled out that it was not a bear because bears don't look orange. We don't have grizzlies or anything like that. If we're going to have bears, it's going to be black bears, and it's not common here. And we studied it, and we decided that it was the creature, the authentic image of the creature. It was on video, and what happened was my cousin Navian heard something growl, and he got scared and started walking away. He walked maybe 50, 60 yards away and turned around and took out his cell phone and started videoing, and sure enough, he got the image, and we all saw it. It was standing there, and the creature kept on looking to his right and looking back and looking to the right, and then all of a sudden, he just turned around and walked back into the woods, and when Tom and Vinny came here, they discovered that there were actually two creatures. One was in the thicket to the creature's right, and you could see the cone head sticking out. And when they slowed down the video and went back, hand back, whatever that cone head that was sticking out of the thicket was standing up. So there was actually two of them, and then the other video was taken inadvertently, and I saw that and compared it to the other video as I remembered it, and what we talked about, what we saw, what we observed was, you were talking about different species of the creature.
And yes.
This one, the ones that we saw on the video, appeared to have elongated faces.
Yeah, like a dog-faced type of a creature with a snout, right?
Yeah, yes. And, you know, it was there, you know, it was, we saw it. We saw the, turn around and walk off, and we saw, I mean, the other video, it just was peeking out behind the tree. It peeked out two or three times, I believe, and then walked out and stood there. So game warden, the local game warden that was associated with us, decided for some reason or another that he didn't want to be affiliated with us after Tom and his crew came, and he was very interested in being part of the group, you know, but for some reason he decided he didn't want to be part of the group anymore, you know, but the lady told me, the one, my cousin Navian's wife told me that, and I didn't know that till just recently, that the game wardens actually spent a week camping out where the creature was videotaped, and that guy is the one that said, he told me, we were talking, and he told me that it was a bear, you know, and I couldn't understand him because, you know, he was so involved with us at first, and then he said he dismissed it as a bear, but Marco Bill, a bear, and up straight like a man, and doesn't walk like a man, and it turned around and walked away like a man, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, it was clearly not a bear, but here he said it was a bear, but he and his group, from what I understand, camped out in that area for a week, but they didn't see anything, and I was pretty angry because he told me it's a bear, but he, and then, you know, he and his friends, you know, camping out, trying to videotape it and all that stuff, you know. I don't know why he resorted to that, but, yeah, we got people that, skeptical people that, I don't know why people are that way, but it makes me angry sometimes, you know, when I think about some guy saying, oh, it's a bear, and then he goes out camping to see if he can capture the creature himself, you know. So,
yeah, I understand. Okay. Well, that happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. People want to,
like I said, there's too many organizations that are, well, they call me organizations, and nobody else can do what they do, and they don't want to share any of their information. What they do is they try to actually go out and take it from other organizations, mm-hmm. and use it for their benefit.
Yeah,
and it's you know, it's not right.
Yeah, the other thing, and this is very interesting. As I was walking around in that particular vicinity where the creature was videotaped, and this is very interesting, and it has nothing to do with Bigfoot, but so when Mac was recording, he was only recording me walking toward the very spot where the creature was standing, and when he went back and observed the video, that was apparition.
Yeah, he was talking about that.
Yes, sir. I couldn't believe it. He was telling me all. He was so excited, you know, and I was like, I didn't know what to think, Marco, and he came and he showed it to me, and I saw an apparition of a man, and I was walking toward him, and
wow.
he was walking toward me, And when I got real close to him, he put out both of his hands as though he wanted me to stop. But I walked right through them, and that was very interesting. We got Bigfoot.
Wow.
He got apparitions there too, you know. So, you know, I didn't want to talk about it because I don't want to.
Well, you don't want people thinking you're nuts either.
Yeah.
You know, for the same reason. I mean, you know, people say, "Oh, that's so weebie-jeebie stuff." But I don't know. You got to, in this whole thing, we have to keep open minds.
Uh-huh.
And whether we believe it all or not believe it all is not, it's not the thing. The thing is that we take into account other people's, what you know, opinions and what they see and descriptions of what they see. And, you know, eventually what will happen is the evidence or the different explanations are going to be pieced together. And it may be something completely different than what we thought. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so. And
for instance, we have the pictures and we have all the information from the Arkansas incident.
Yeah.
And we had UC Davis do the DNA on it.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out to be a billy ape. And which is a 6 foot, like a chimpanzee, but it's not. It's its own species, and it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be here.
Well, earlier you were talking about some creatures that were sighted that look like orangutans. Well,
yeah. In Florida, the skunk ape, there are several that we've gotten that were supposed to be like that. And other areas, too, not just there. Other areas where they look more like an orangutan or more like an ape kind of a features, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a friend of mine and his other friends, they went camping. And first of all, they heard tree knocks and whistling and they heard footsteps and it was like 2 a.m. that they decided to go in their tents and go to sleep, but when they started hearing the noises and they came out and shined a flashlight, and at first, you know, they were you could see their eyes reflect, you know, from the flashlight, and they turn off the flashlight and just listen, and then they kept on coming closer, and they shined the flashlight again. There was three creatures, and he was telling me, I said, what did these creatures look like in the face? And he told me, have you seen the movie The Planet of the Apes? And I said, yes. And he said, you know, the one that was clearly seen had a face like that orangutan on Planet of the Apes, you know. So another friend of mine said that they camping out just locally here, and because about 5 miles where I live is the river and the swamps. We have all kind of creatures at the swamp: alligators, rattlers. You know, you name them, and we got them there. And they were camping, and they heard trees knocking and screaming. And this time, they were things were thrown at them. You know, like the wood, pieces of wood, and everything was thrown at them. So they were saying that these creatures seemed to be.
You just went out of you went right off the air, Teron.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Something happened.
Oh.
Is Richard, are you there?
I'm right here, Marco.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's listen to Richard, Tron, and then what we're going to do is we can go more into this as soon as Richard's done. We're going to go into that, the open period, and I want to hear more of what you had to say there. It's getting... I need to give Richard some time here, but I'm gonna keep you on. I'm not gonna mute you on. I'm just gonna keep you on.
All right.
Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Marco. I'm doing well.
So how you, how's tell me, I've gotten all your pictures. You got quite a few pictures. But one thing I got to tell you, what we got to do, and I got to go through those with you. Some of those I can't do anything with. So what I want to do is I just want to sit down with you for about an hour on the phone and just kind of go through, you know, the resolution stuff and all the other things with you. Just to, so what, when we get it, I'll be able to, you know, to do, you know, to be able to, you know, use filters and things like that to to get a more clearer vision of the different creatures and things. It's very difficult right now to do that. And I didn't put them on the website because what I don't want is people saying, oh, that's another Bob Squatch
right. No,
or something like that. But you have some real – no, you have some real good stuff. Some really good stuff. And we just need to – all we need to do is figure out how to show it that it's not leaves and stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
That it's not – you know, it's actually a creature type of thing. And we can do that. It just takes a little time and a little effort to do it, and I'll give you a hand with that. And if I can't, then we'll try to get somebody else involved that is an expert. I'm not an expert at anything, so. But I dabble around in everything.
Tell us
what's you've been out there now. You go out there every day.
I was out in the woods 2 weeks ago. I just had my. In fact, I'm going for surgery tomorrow. I'm having my eyes done.
Yeah.
I was out there 2 weeks ago, and I got two wood knocks. In that that same exact area, I got two wood knocks. And I didn't really see anything, and I'm trying to be more conscious when I'm out there. Your eyes can't be every place. I mean, I'm looking for footprints. I'm checking both sides. But I've come to some conclusions. I could be way off base. From what I see, Marco, there's too many of those. From what I'm sending you, I'm seeing too many creatures for that area to support. I don't know how they could live.
What kind of things, what kind of food elements do they have in that area there?
You have landfill on one side, or the city landfill, and then you go about 50 yards and you go down a hill, and then there's the trail. That's where my pictures are taken. You have deer. I've never seen rabbits. I've never seen squirrels, and I've been in there hundreds of times. I've got a video on my YouTube of, I've seen it twice now, of a helicopter circling right over the area where that's fenced off that I can't go up to. 100 feet off the ground. I'm thinking they're dropping food. I thought of it.
Well, they could be. I mean,
they're dropping food. They've got to be supported in this area. They can't.
Are there any fruit trees or anything like that?
No. There's nothing. If you could see what I sent you, there's a hill there, and I bet you there's 20 on the hill, laying down in the grass.
Oh, really? Wow.
I sent that to you, but there's 20. There's 20 laying in the grass. I can't even count them. How could they be supported in a 4,000-acre preserve? They can't
I don't know.
The preserve's got to know they're there. There's no way the first time I was on the phone with you guys, the trail was closed. One of the pictures I sent you was of a fence, and it looks like it's lined with creatures, all right? That's the trail that was closed off after the first time I talked to you and Tom, 2 days after I talked to you from Maine. That trail's closed off on both ends. The second trail that was closed off for about 6 weeks, they said they were clearing brush and they were using heavy equipment. You can't drive heavy equipment down that trail. They use what they call a brush hog. It's a trail.
Yeah, I understand.
That's the only thing they can get through there. And they said, that was when I called up Tom and said that I had the creature on the video moving from right to left into the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? probably a day or two after I talked to you guys, that trail was closed off for 4 or 5 weeks. I couldn't get on it. Either they were moving them or something, or I don't know what. So evidently somebody listens to your show from over there, right? I got to believe it. I got to believe it, Marco. They must find time to listen, because evidently they're getting paid. Somebody's paying them to keep them there because they never ask for money. They do charge $5 sometimes for like a bird watching tour. They'll get a group and they'll charge them $5 a head. But they never see them asking for money to keep that almost 5,000-acre preserve that has an absolutely beautiful building, well-manicured trails with markers, and, I mean, they're really kept up. If you go down a hill, you know, they cut the steps into the trail and stuff. They have a lot of help. I saw one guy in there. I said, what are you doing? He says that he's on the trail. He said, I'm spraying for weeds, for, you know, weeds they don't want in there. I mean, it costs money to do that stuff. Who's financing that place? How can you have 100 creatures and not know they're there? It'd be there every day. How could they possibly have it running that place with those things, what I believe, the amount of that's running through there, how could they be there without them not knowing they're there? They've got to know they're
there. Obviously, they must have people who have to go through and survey or inspect the areas, right?
I know they have trail camps because I heard two of the employees talking one day. They do have trail cams, and I don't know what they're taking pictures of, because there's no animals other than I've seen deer prints, and I've seen deer. I saw a deer. I was sitting in the parking lot, and there's this one hill. You know, I have this thing about, I think they're on the hill. In fact, I did get a picture of one where they sit and they watch the parking lot because I think they're curious. They like, you know, we're like their entertainment. And the deer came down the slope to my right and started grazing about 15 feet from my car. And it was just getting to be twilight. I'm never there when it gets dark. And to my right, I saw a huge shape on the top of that hill stand up. I couldn't make it out. I think the deer got flushed into the parking lot. Why would it come into the parking lot 15 feet from my car? It must have been. I left there after that, and I said, I bet you that deer's dead by now.
Well, very well could be. I mean, that's probably what they're, I mean, they could use that for food. We know that they do hunt deer for food. We've seen the results of it.
And, Marco, I have at least seen two of them that were very human-like, all right, with either, I can't tell size from the pictures. They've either got a fox pelt on their head or a coyote pelt on their head, draped over their head. So all you see is, in fact, I sent you something today. I know you're not going to see it. You know the one I sent you where it looks like a gray one's at the end of the trail? That's the one you said was pretty good?
Yeah.
Well, right behind it, 10 feet away, is the most, I say human-like. The gentleman that was just on said Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
It looked like a cross between a primate and a human, but more primate-looking, with very dark gray skin with a white pelt. I sent that to you today. I know you're not going to see it. And I sent you the original and like marked it, hoping that maybe you could maybe blow it up and in my camera.
Well, that's what I tried to do, but I couldn't. The resolution wasn't
If I had you or Tom sitting here with me going over that video where I stop it frame by frame, I would really make believers out of you two guys as far as what.
I don't think you have a problem with believing. We're believers.
To show you how hot this place is.
I don't think you have to do that. I think we know that as well. We have no question on that, that I'm aware of. No, we looked at many of the pictures that you sent before, and Tom has reviewed them, the video, and that's why, Tom was kind of excited.
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I talked to Tom, there were so many. I know this sounds crazy, Marco, but I was on the phone with Tom telling him what that's the day he told me he thought I was crazy because I was seeing so many. I think they were playing with me, and there was one. I was standing almost on the road, and to the left, down at almost at the trailhead, it looked like a tree stump standing there, all right? And I started to walk down towards it, and I saw a leg stick out. It was almost straight up and down. They must pull their arms and legs in and stand still. For the most part, what I see is a real big, broad-shouldered ant, you know, like the one gentleman said, 5 feet, like the call you got. Five, 6 feet tall, not real broad. I think that I know there is big ones in there, but I don't see them because I think they hang back because they're too obvious. But most of the ones I see are man-sized and smaller. And some of them, I think, can get real small. And I swear, I sent you a picture, it probably didn't come out, where they're like laying in the trail just before I walked there. Because what happened that day is I would walk to a certain point and then turn around and come back. Well, the point where I usually walk to was so many flies that day, you know, black flies, that I just turned around quick and came back, and I think I caught some of them in the trail. They didn't expect me to turn around and come back that quick. They must watch me every time I go in there. I never see them. You don't see them unless they want to see you, unless you are. If they stand still, you're not going to see them. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
No, I understand.
You're not going to
see them. Well, I'll tell you what, Richard, let's put, we got Tyrone on, and Anthony had to go. He's working late. He's been working late the last month. Steve, are you there? You can come on too, my friend.
I'm here. I'm here, Marco. I was just sitting back looking at Northern California again.
Well, Tyrone, are you there too?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Let's go into this a little bit more. And Tyrone, Richard was talking about the caricature that you had brought up about Planet of the Apes type.
Yeah.
Like a orangutan, between
dark,
orangutan, whatever.
It's a real dark gray flesh face.
Well, I knew that my friends were out there camping, and it was a little after 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was asleep. My cell phone kept on ringing and ringing, and I didn't want to answer, but it kept on ringing, so I just answered it, and it was my friend. He said, "Man, these creatures are surrounding us, you know." So that's the time he said that one of them looked like with a face like orangutan from the movie, but he also told me one was brown and one was black, and the other one they couldn't make out because he was way, way behind the other two. So, that's what I understand it looked like. And one of the guys was talking about the deer. My sister, about 75 yards away from my mother's house, coming in late at night, and when the light shines by the curve, she saw the creature with the deer on its shoulders walking in the woods. So they must be fast enough to catch the deer, you know.
Oh, they are. I had my one sighting, Teron.
Yes.
I was walking in the trail, and about maybe 40, 50 yards ahead of me, one went across the trail. I heard it before I saw it. It was on all fours.
Uh-huh.
It was about the size of a chimp.
Uh-huh.
And it was so quick, it was like a blackish-gray blur.
Uh-huh.
I had my camera in my hand, I still couldn't get it.
Oh, well.
It was so fast.
Well, you know, my sister, another night, about the same spot where she saw the creature with the deer on his shoulders walking in the woods. Well, a deer came running across the road really fast, mm-hmm. and she was focused on the deer, and all of a sudden the creature ran across. She said she had to step on the brake to keep from hitting the creature. The creature was hot after the deer.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of Bigfoot activities and around my mother's house usually.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother saw it for the first time a year and a half ago. So,
did it scare her?
No, she said she wasn't afraid at all. She said it was tall and kind of a dirty looking brown, and it was kind of humped over.
Mm-hmm.
And when he walked, his arms was swinging back and forth, and
right.
They said they watched it for about a minute or so before it went down a hill and disappeared into the woods, you know.
Wow.
So we have a lot of things going, and my niece has seen it three times in 3 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like there's a certain time of the year when they usually come through the same area. So,
right. I know one thing. It's not Gigantificus, believe me.
Oh,
it's not Gigantificus.
Yeah,
it's their own. They're their own species. They have their, and there's variations of the species. Everything from like Marco said, everything from almost human looking like
mm-hmm.
to very primate looking like, and they can be all mixed together in the same area.
Yeah,
I think their own. Some of them are almost like aboriginal. I swear.
Well, you know,
I mean,
one of the things you know, in science, in the past few years, a few years ago, you know, everybody thought that the Neanderthal, of course, was the nearest relative to us, to the human, and of course they thought, well, it didn't survive. But when they started going back to its DNA origins. They found out that the human and the Neanderthal were cross-mixed in different parts together. And then they had a digging in an area. I forgot where it was exactly, but it wasn't in the same area. And they found a finger. And the finger, the DNA from the finger, was a completely different species. And they redid and redid the DNA. Now you got to understand, when they do the DNA on this, there, I don't know, 16 billion different pairs that they have to match and go against. It takes several months to do it. And what they came up with was a whole new species of Homo erectus type.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what the name was. It just slips my mind right now. I had a senior moment, but basically, through the past few years, they substantiated that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they substantiated another thing, that humans originated, well, humans and Neanderthals originated in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All life did, you know, when, you know, Earth came together and blah, blah, blah. It was, you know, whatever the big mass of land thing was that they had at the time. Yeah, Pander, whatever it was. I forgot what it is. Yeah,
it's
Pangea.
Pangea.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's where everything originated. And except for this one, it never did. They have no history or anything of it in anywhere in Africa. And it's actually in somewhere, there's a couple of areas where it's at, where it stops. And it's not in Pangea, so it's a completely different area of the world.
It's not indigenous to the area.
Right. And so they were, you know, what they're talking about is human and Neanderthal and this other species mixing, intermixing. which that's what they have proof of, and that's what they're trying to substantiate now. Where, and so I would think, you know, this is just with our own human history. I would think that many of the different things that we've already accumulated, which is not much, but a small amount that we have, the DNA ranges from ancient human, 15,000 years or more, to within two genomes of another species. It was completely different. And, so, I mean, you know, it's not... Yeah, it may not be. There may be several different species out there, and they've just evolved in through all these years, could have easily, you know, maintained their own cultures and everything else. They've interbred.
I've got one a little bit more simpler than that, Marco.
What's that?
They came down, they spliced their DNA with ours and made us.
Could be.
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, the thing is the science is, you know, science obviously isn't going to say anything about Bigfoot, but they are doing a lot of research on Neanderthal and this other new species and you know, us as humans and how we've interbred and how our... You know, the theory used to be that we would the other species died out because we were more adept at hunting and gathering than they were, and we used groups and all these other kinds of this was all the theories, but it kind of dashed all those things because now they found out that that our genes are mixed with their genes. And that they also had the same, you know, the same kind of speech and everything else.
I've heard it.
More aggressive.
I've heard Marco. I've heard the samurai talk once. Once.
Well, I mean that's samurai talk. I'm talking about human speech.
No,
the theory is that the other species didn't have vocal cords like we do, and that we were able to communicate more readily. Verbally, than the other species. That's been a long-held scientific theory.
My mother saw Marco. I heard two of them conversing back and forth, and I said to him, "You can stop talking about me, guys. I'm leaving. I swear on my mother's soul. I swear on right where I heard the sighting, Marco, and it sounded like what I heard on the tape." On the internet, what they call samurai speak, Tom imitated it almost perfectly when I told him originally.
Yeah,
it was like boom, 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 and then went oh, like back and forth for like 2 minutes, and it freaked me out. But it wasn't as deep and as loud as I would have expected it. Like I always thought that these were big, huge. Creatures. I know there's big ones in there because I've seen 20-inch plus footprints, but there's more small ones than big ones there.
Well, if you want to go up on www.bigfootlive.com, if you go up on www.bigfootlive.com, you go to the main page or you go to the host page, either one, and you're going to find on the main page right underneath the heading, it says, watch this, and watch it. It's a video, and I have it magnified so that you can see a creature crawling up in the tree. There's also, what you don't know is there's another creature up in the tree already. And you can hear them exchanging guttural sounds and things back and forth. And then you'll see the creature climbs back down the tree and takes off.
Where is that taken?
I can't tell you.
Can you tell me the date?
I can't tell you because the people that are... But it was taken about 2 years ago. We've had it for a long time. It's in one of our movies.
I saw that last week.
I remember
week.
That one.
It's in one of our movies. It's in Bigfoot.
Yeah, I remember
Village
that
too.
One.
But if you look, I just took that piece out, and then I magnified the area so that you could see, because it's hard to see when you're looking at it, and I don't have a lot of, you know, a video tools. I mean, I could, but I just didn't. I don't have time to screw around with. But what I did have is I have some special effects that basically magnify an area like a lens, and then it allows you to see a magnified version of that one little spot, and you'll see the creature climb right up through that little spot.
You know, Marco, I never could imagine the creatures being able to climb a tree, but recently I heard this one Native American woman here saying that she had monkeys in the back of her house, you know, where the tree lines are, because she saw the monkeys, you know, chattering up in the trees, you know, and they climbed down and ran into the woods, you know, and I was thinking, monkeys, you know, we don't have monkeys, you know.
I think they're very comfortable in trees, to be truthful with you. I think
we've taken that same video that I'm just describing to you, and we had M.K. Davis, a good past friend of ours, very good friend, and M.K. Davis does a lot of stabilization of films. He did the stabilization of the Patterson film, and he stabilized that particular video, and in a still motion thing where it goes real slow, you'll see that there's two creatures in the tree, and they're both shaking the tree, and it's a pretty significant thing. We've had that. We haven't released it to anybody other than one portion of it. We have several other films of the same similar area where we have the creature coming up a valley. And very quickly. That's why these things are pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And then it knuckle walks up on the last part of the footage, and then it gets up and takes off again. And it's we've got a lot of these things. The problem is, you know, anytime you try to make a video public to anybody, there's a lot of controversy. And we don't want to. What we want to do is we're protecting the controversial side of this thing.
Yeah.
We have it. Yep. We have the original. We're just going to keep it until the right time comes. Each little part is a piece of evidence that we have that we've collected, and we don't release all of the evidence that we have or collected. We keep a large portion of it, and we never release it to other people, and that's because we have people just like you guys throughout the United States and Canada, a network of people, and when they give us information or give us things, we give them our word on how we're going to use it or if we're going to be able to use it, and we keep that promise. And what we do, we collaborate. And at such time when something would happen, obviously, we usually have contracts with those people. And so if we're ever used, we get their permission, and we go ahead and we go forward. And I think that's the kind of way that we need to work in the whole Bigfoot community, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Marco, anyways, just about every day, someone will ask me, when are the Bigfoot researchers coming back, you know, so I don't know when they're
coming back. Teron, here's the story right now. Tom is really trying. He is really, man, he is so wrapped up right now. He's wrapped up in about four or five different things at one time. Mm-hmm. And he was planning on doing an expedition this past month. Obviously, like I think he talked to you guys, right?
He may have talked with.
Yeah, he talked to several people, and then what happened was all this other stuff came up, and right now he is just buried. Once we get out of this bunch of stuff that we have, and we have it negotiated and have it signed and have everything done, and we got the movie out the door, and so that the people, movie people, are you know, happy with what they have, then he'll go on into we'll get into the expedition mode, and he'll be, you know, calling everybody.
Oh yeah, well,
it's just all this just happened. I mean, this is it's going to be another couple of weeks or 3 weeks. He's tied up. And, I mean, he was going to be on the show tonight. He's going to be on the show last week. But things happen, and when they happen, they're good things. They're not bad things, but when everything happens at once, you really don't have enough time to do almost anything, let alone even think sometimes.
Yeah, the last sighting there was about a mile from my house, you know, and... It was 5 weeks ago. So,
yeah. No, I understand, and he's aware of that too. He is, and also Richard, he's talked to you.
Yeah.
And he's very interested in trying to come out there, but what's happened is the times that he thought he'd be able to do that, he was jerked around to somewhere else.
Okay,
so I apologize.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How many do you think that they're endangered? How many would you guess that there is in North America?
Oh.
I bet you there's a lot more than people think there is. That, you know,
several thousand.
I would even say more.
Or more.
I tell you, out west, you know, they're more prevalent out west, but because of all the forest fires, I think they're moving up north and coming out east. So there's.
Well, they do migrate, you know. They do migrate, and in our first experiences, Tom's first experiences 40-some years ago, he followed around with a gentleman by the name of Ivan Marks and his wife.
Oh yeah,
and they went up to Alaska, and they were following migration. They were figuring out migration paths coming from Alaska south and from California north, in Canada north and south, on the, you know, on the migrational paths. So I mean, that's been a kind of a known kind of a thing for a long time, but what wasn't known then was as much as we know now of the different species, the different, that they're virtually all over the place, because I mean there's sightings all over the place about them. You know, for a long time, the only place you hear sightings is Oregon and California, Northern California, and up in the Canada area.
And were the old place where I think I sent Tom a few maps of the area that I discovered to a friend of mine up in Butte County, too, which me and Tom both know the location.
Sure. But, I mean, that's kind of like what happens. And so, I mean, it's, you know... It's a known factor that not they don't all migrate. Some of them stay in areas because and we know that they travel in family pods. The majority of them anyway do. We don't. I mean, you can't say inexplicably that one would not. But I mean, pretty much they're when we're seeing them, and in many of the experiences we have of other people and with our experience with them, there's usually more than one in the area.
Yep.
And it's usually, you know, several, but you just don't see them. You only see the one, and the others are, you know, you don't see them until you start getting rocks and stones or sticks hurled at you.
Well, you got to do is jump out of the car and run them down, Marco. You
got to
catch them from behind.
I know.
My sister saw a group of them right there by my mother's house one night too, as well.
Uh-huh.
You know? And she said it looked like a mama and daddy Bigfoot because there were two short ones with them.
Yeah, and you know, we had a guest on here not too long ago from Florida. Well, he wasn't from Florida; he was from Tennessee. But when the experience happened to him, he was in Florida. If you remember, he was doing a drag line in the Everglades area there. And a drag line, and he's seen many of these things sitting down watching the drag line. And he didn't know what it was, and everyone else around there knew what it was. And then, of course, he quit his job because one tried to come after him. And luckily, he escaped. He had a shotgun, and he shot at it, and probably, you know, made it mad. But well, it didn't. I don't think he wounded it. He didn't hit it because he was using, you know, he wasn't using slugs or anything. He was using a fine shot, and it only has a certain range.
Yeah.
But he was shooting in the air too. He wasn't shooting at it. He was shooting in the air to scare it away.
Yeah, you don't want to make it.
Instead
mad.
Of scaring it away, it started coming closer. But we've had several incidents in the Florida area over the past couple of years where people have reported groups of these things. One was a college party out in the forest here about 2 years, 3 years ago. When 15, 20 people seen these creatures. And one guy was a hot rod, hot shot, took his rifle out and tried to shoot one when it was climbing a cliff and along a bank. And of course, he didn't hit it because they'd been drinking. But, there's a lot of different incidents that take place that people describe these that have happened like that. So, plus our own experiences that we've seen. Well, guys, I got to tell you, it's, I don't know where the time goes, but my gosh, we spent 35 minutes just talking away, and it's just like time was no barrier. I want to thank you all for coming on the show tonight and joining us. I'll keep in touch with each of you. And I will, Tom is aware of everything as far as Tron. He's aware of all these things. He will contact you and at some point in time here and make arrangements and let you, or, you know, find out what's going on. And same thing with you, Richard. He's not forgotten anything. I talked to him the other day. He just said there's so many things going on, and he's, you know, talked with people. And right now, he can't even keep his mind straight and what day is which. It's going that fast. But you guys...
if you see him, tell him I said
hello. I sure will.
All right.
You guys take it easy. We'll see everyone next week. And everybody out there, good night and keep Bigfooting. We'll see you next week, my friends.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Richard.
Good night, Steve. Tara.
Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We love them to go.